Okay, our speaker is Michael, who will now share his experience, strength, and hope for 20 minutes on working with others and more. Would you like a 5-minute warning, Michael, when your time's almost up?
Yeah, and repeat how long you want me to go?
20 minutes.
That's perfect. And yes, a 5-minute warning would be great.
All right, go ahead. It's all yours.
All right, thanks. I'm Michael. I'm an addict and an alcoholic and a seeker of emotional sobriety today. And that's been a great place for me the last couple of years, is someone who's just seeking emotional sobriety, emotional well-being. I know several of you personally that probably can relate to this part of it, is like, wasn't that what I was looking for the entire time anyways? Like drugs, alcohol, people, or whatever, just emotional well-being, emotional sobriety was really what I was seeking in the beginning and the end. And a lot of that looks like a God-centered life for me today. So through the 12 steps, how do I get there? The powerlessness, the delusions and the self-will and the fears that are driving my life, that that are just dragging me through it everywhere I go. A little bit of a solution and pointed in the direction that God's going to remove these things if I acknowledge them, pray about them, and ask for the relief. And then, you know, step 10 and 11, I'm going to be in this place where I'm going to go out through my day and just kind of check myself and see how I'm showing up in God's world. And 11, I'm going to pray and meditate for this closer relationship with our Creator. And I know I'm summarizing kind of quickly, but that's what it looks like. Even in one day, that's kind of what it looks like. And then after I have this relationship with myself and with God, then I can go out into the world and I can practice these principles in all my affairs, and I can work with others, I can help others. I love the original manuscript, that if we read the original manuscript, it says, carry this message to others. Oh, and alcoholics too. But if we're really living this 12-step life, it's my belief that you can't go out into God's world and just spread around some positivity and share the message of some kind of hope everywhere we go. Oh, so step 12 and getting to that place and being in a place where I have something to give. I had my own personal doubts. I had some selfishness about my time. You know, I'm busy. So how can I go help all these people if I'm busy? And then underneath it too is this fear that I'm going to get somebody drunk, or I'm going to break somebody's sobriety, or I'm not good enough, and the fears that are there underneath it. Well, too bad, don't care, need to do it anyways. And that's kind of the attitude that I needed to have to get to a place where I was willing to shake someone's hand. I was willing to give my number and then reach out to them also. Like, they have no power to call me, but to text them or call them or make contact with them a couple of times and keep the door open for a while to be of real service to another human being. Why? There's a lot of reasons. And the first part is in the foreword. We don't even get to page one. And it says right here, the experience and the experience of Bill and Bob gets to this place where it indicates that strenuous work, one alcoholic in their case, or one addict with another, was vital to permanent recovery. That's really strong language. Strenuous work, not occasional, not kind of, I gave a little bit of my time, or I'll call them back when I feel like it, or no, strenuous, heart, soul, blood, sweat, tears, the whole deal, strenuous. And it's work. It's work. It's not something that I just do because I have a little bit of extra time because, you know, I'm off on Saturdays or something like this. No, this is work. This is my life work today, I believe. This is my life work. I also have a job that I get paid at too, but this is my life work. This is, wow, this is making me emotional. This is God's work. This is true. This is the true Michael's work today. I just get paid at the other work. Here I get to live. And it says it's vital, living. That's it. It's a life or death matter for me. It's vital to permanent recovery. So I have recovered from that seemingly hopeless state of mind and body that you and I and we lived in. but I live in recovery every single day. Like I am recovered and I live in recovery. And these are the practices that, that keep me in that place and actually help me grow farther. Why I wanted to start at that part of the book and what's coming up, and there's so much more around this that that is part of my experience, but is the first workshop for me doing the Big Book Awakening was really amazing, mind-blowing. It was far beyond anything I'd ever been able to access before in my life, either in my drug addiction and my alcoholism, or just in a way of living. Like even then I was like, wow, this is actually really, really good. But I wasn't at a place where I could receive it. I wasn't at a place where I could take it all in a way that was gonna really, honestly, in my, this may be just my own experience, but that one experience was not going to be sufficient enough for the rest of my life. Because it was just too mind-blowing. There was too much to soak in all at once. And so I can either jump into another workshop and try and get that workshop to fix me. And I've seen that, and it's pretty common. Or I can grab my transcribed big book, which is our Working with Others big book, and I can sit in front of another addict or an alcoholic, and we can go through the Big Book Awakening or the Big Book or the 12 Steps together one-on-one, and God will reveal to both of us that which needs to happen on the inside of me. Like the poor other guy on the other end of the table, they're getting something out of it too, and they're going to have an experience with the 12 Steps. But honestly, when I sit with another human being and we go through my big book transcribed the way it is, and we ask each other questions, I see the things that I may have missed the time before, or the time before that, or the time before that, or something new today that wasn't part of my experience 6 weeks or 6 years ago, but it is very relevant today, the way I'm reading it today. One of our friends calls the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous the sacred text. It carries with me throughout my life, and it means something new to me every time I read it. A lot of literature isn't that way. You know, it's a great book. It's the same story I go through every time, and I love it every time I read it, but it doesn't change. This book follows me and my spiritual experience year by year, and life change by life change too. And that is like a sacred living, breathing text. I learned more from my first workshop by helping the next two or three human beings than I actually learned in the workshop. That, I hope that's not confusing or paradoxical too much, but it was only when I started to help another human being and carry the message to that other human being that I really truly started to integrate and understand the informational part of what I was learning in the workshop. So I started to integrate the principles and the ideas and the experience I was having in the workshop. And the one that just pops off the page to me is the first time I did the fourth and fifth step, we kept throwing around the word objectionable, objectionable, objectionable. And I could not get out of my mind in the fourth step that, of course, I saw all kinds of objectionable, but I misunderstood. The objectionable was all the way you guys were treating me. And that was very objectionable. It was still objectionable in my fourth step. I did not understand in the first full workshop I did that the objectionable was about the way I was living my life on my power and my fear and the way I was showing up. It was only when I started to explain it to the next person, how they were going through their inventory, I just had this like aha, penny drop, light bulb moment of like, oh, do you see that as objectionable? And I started to just see this kind of like avalanche in a really good way of all the objectionable things that I had kind of been missing. And maybe that's just my own personal experience, but I couldn't have had that experience if I wasn't trying to help someone else with their experience. So again, I start off in a place where I don't have enough time to help other people. I don't have enough information. I don't have enough experience. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough steps. I don't have enough whatever. Or I just flat out selfishly don't want to do it because I don't have time, right? The book says it's going to be vital, but it's also, it's important for me to continue growing. This other person I'm helping, I know that. I can see the lights come on in this other human being. I can see this other person come alive in their steps. But I need it as part of my growth too. So I'm not going to encourage anyone to just automatically jump into the next workshop to get their next experience or automatically try the next way of working the steps or whatever. That's amazing. And they are great. But after my first experience with the 12 steps, my biggest bang for the buck, and I think God's best purpose for me, is to work with another human being and carry the message to another human being. That's our purpose. The work is in helping others with the work. And I think that's one of our transcriptions. And as I do that, I'm going to go from reading the black type on the white pages. To some point, what I'm going to start to see is the principles or the message or the heart in the white spaces in between the black type. And if you haven't started to experience that yet, keep reading the big book to another human being, keep reading the big book to others, and asking myself, what does this mean to me today, right here and right now? And the book kind of expands into this new area, and I start to see what's underneath the written page. And I have all these notes. I'm always taking notes. And I have all these amazing notes that are important to me. Occasionally, they're important to other people as well, but they're really important to me. And I continue to have this new experience with my big book. Dan's instructions at the very end of the big book Awakening are to take this technique, this turning the statements into questions and considerations, and take it into the rest of the big book and have an experience. I think the big book suggests that as well in its own way. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize even right now, done the big book Awakening workshop a couple of times, even right now, we realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you, me, and to us. We're going to ask him in our morning meditation what we can do each day for that one who is still sick, right? Those are our instructions. Each day, every day, how can I help the next person that's still sick and suffering? These answers are going to come if our own house is in order. Obviously, I can't transmit something I haven't got. See to it that our relationship with God or him or spirit is right. Great events will come to pass for me and countless others. I'm going to have this spiritual experience, this spiritual life that is ongoing, and it gives every day. This is the great fact for us. And the great fact is actually capitalized too. So this experience, this love, this sharing can actually be considered part of my God, my higher power, as far as I'm concerned. That's been my experience. How long do I have?
You have 7 more minutes.
Oh, okay, great. Okay, so we realize we know only a little. Go through the big book and ask yourself the considerations. Ask yourself what it means to you today. Have an experience with it. Test the waters a little bit. Expand on it. Get. I don't want to say advice necessarily, but get feedback from the people around you that are on the spiritual path with you. Compare notes. Sometimes somebody says something to me that's mind-blowing. Sometimes I say something to someone else that's mind-blowing. And sometimes we disagree and we have this amazing conversation that takes us both farther, where neither one of us has to be right or wrong. But we can go off in this amazing spiritual journey with this and continue to get farther and farther in here. So the book is not dogma. It's a technique or a tool to have a spiritual experience, but it's a common one that we can all go back to. So sure, I'm going to get off track and I'm going to even throw some therapy in there and I'm going to do some other practices and some great meditation practices we share with each other. And there's so many different ones. And then there's different ways to read the book, or this sentence means this, or this sentence means that. Great. Have this amazing experience with it, expand on it, and then keep coming back to it. So as I get off track, I get back on track, looking at the material and going back to the source material. But don't get stuck in, it has to be this way based on what someone else told you. Please don't. that works in the beginning, and it's probably necessary in the beginning. But after I've read it a few times to someone else and I've had an experience with it, then I need to live and experience my own truth. And that's more important to me. And I believe it's going to be more important to you than anything anybody really told me. Okay. But I'm not going to stay off in my dreamland of what it means or fantasy land and make stuff up either. And I hope that's not being too critical of me or anyone else. So I'm going to read this last little paragraph, and I think I'm done there. I feel so strongly about the place that the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous has taken me and us that I get really passionate about this part. I probably could go off on another 30-minute tangent on a small part here that's coming up. So I'm going to just read this last paragraph. I'd love to hear from everybody else in the room tonight. And then I have to leave a few minutes early. I forgot to mention I lead the daily meeting right after this. So I'm going to step out about 10 minutes early. Please forgive me. I would rather stay with you guys, but I also have that commitment. So page 130, those of us who have spent much time in the world of spiritual, what might seem make-believe, have eventually seen the childishness in it. This dream world has been replaced with a great sense of purpose. My feet are on the ground. I'm sitting with another addict or an alcoholic in action, going through the Big Book. I'm not just contemplating this all the time. I'm going to meetings and giving out my number and taking numbers and calling people. I'm taking people to coffee or tea before or after a meeting. I'm in action with these people, just like someone was in action with me, helping me when I could not help myself. We've come to believe God, or he would like us to keep our heads in the clouds with him, but that our feet ought to be firmly planted on earth. That is where our fellow travelers are. That is where our work must be done, the real work, the life work. These are the realities for us. We've found nothing incompatible between a powerful spiritual experience and a life of sane and happy usefulness. Yes, that's it. So I do a lot of loving work in our rooms. I do quite a bit of fun, amazing work outside of the rooms. And then I also have a paid job that pays my rent and my food as well. And that's definitely part of my life too. And I believe I'm pretty balanced in those areas today. And I never could have pulled that off on my own. I tried for years, guys, and I know most of you guys did too. This has been the only lasting solution to my life. And I hope you find some of that in what we find in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Michael. I'm going to turn the recording off.